I want to encourage everyone to get involved with the Toys for Tots. There is a lot of people that these kids are not going to have any Christmas unless we do something. And I know that I brought a trunk full this morning, and we're going shopping again and get some more to bring back here. So I want to encourage you to follow Pastor's example. Go get some toys, okay? All right. In fact, I'm talking this morning about the joy of the Lord at Christmas. And I'll get to it down here, and it's in the latter part. But one way of having joy at Christmas is to provide something for somebody else that doesn't have what you have. You know, the holidays are in full swing right now. You know, actually anymore, it's got where they start putting up Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving. Used to, you used to not put up Christmas decorations till December the 1st. Then you started putting up. How many old enough to remember that? But now they starting real. I remember seeing some Christmas decorations up in the middle of November. They're already putting up Christmas decorations. And we've got all kinds of church activities, shopping, Christmas carols, planning for parties, planning your travel schedule. And actually, if we're not careful, we allow this season to become a stressful time rather than an enjoyable time. You know, sometimes it seems like our tasks sort of triple during the holiday seasons, you know. Our list gets longer, and when we start, you know, shopping, we find out that the prices have gone up, and so they're more than we budgeted for. You know, getting a house all ready because the family members and guests are coming over, dealing with crazy schedules and fighting crowds. You know, all of this tends to add more stress to our season. And actually, sometimes we create our own stress. You know how we do that? Trying to make everything perfect. Making sure you have the right foods and enough, and it's cooked just right. I know, Miss Lynette, we have our family with all the kids and the grandkids and the granddaughters in law now, and and Lynette won't, and she does this chicken and dumplings that we have, and she makes an 18 quart roaster full of chicken and dumplings, and we pretty well take care of it, but. And then we open our gifts, but she wants everything to come together and so forth and so on. And so the holiday season, it can be a difficult time. It can be a reminder of loved ones lost. It can bring back memories of something bad that happened during the season. And though that's only natural, and that's going to happen. Of course, my mom and dad are gone, and I think about them during this time. And there's something else I do, and I don't know if any other guys are like this or not, but I always think, because I spent two Christmases across the pond, and I always think about our military guys and ladies that are over somewhere serving, and they're missing being home. I don't know what it was like at the other places, but where I was stationed with the comm center and everything, only place we had to eat was at our club, our non-commissioned officers club, my non-commissioned clubs, and of course they had the officers club for the officers, but the enlisted men. And one of the songs that they always played and sang, and some of you might bring back some memories, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," even in my dreams. I got any guys here that, and ladies that know what I'm talking about? So that can make, I think about the loneliness of that time and other people that are in those categories. But in the midst of all the demands of the holiday, it's easy for us to lose our focus and lose our joy. Now, our focus needs to stay on Christ, and if it does, we should maintain our joy. At the first Christmas when he was born, the angels proclaimed the news with great joy. And I'm going to read, you'll probably hear this several times during the Christmas season. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. At this first Christmas, all the thoughts was on Jesus. Mary and Joseph were focused on him. All heaven was focused on him. The shepherds were focused on him. And even a little bit later, the wise men came to him. Now, I know we always have the wise men come into the stable, but if you'll read the scripture, it says when they come into the house. It was sometime later, somewhere, and many people think he was about two, because King Herod had all the babies put to death that were 2 years and under. But their mind was on him because they were following the star. We can have great joy when we keep our focus and our attention on the reason for the season and not on everything else. How many of you remember the great joy that came into your heart when you first accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, it seemed like nothing else mattered at that particular time. And that's the way we need to focus at this Christmas season, is this is the most joyous time. Why is it so joyous? Because the Savior is born. You know, this is, we can be spiteful, we can be grateful and have joy in spite of anything else that's going on because of the joy we have because of Jesus. We can have joy because he came, he died, he rose again for our salvation. You know, we can rejoice because he made available to us all the promises of God. He made us a brand new person in Christ. He made us the temple of the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in the fact that Jesus came to earth to bring salvation to men. Somebody has said, "Rejoice that immortal God is born so that mortal man may live." You know, if you don't have anything else to have joy in your heart about at Christmas, then be joyful that he came and that you now have life eternal because of Jesus Christ. You know, from the old time the Old Testament ended until the angel appeared to Mary and to Zacharias, there was a 400 year of silence. They hadn't heard from God. But all of a sudden, An angel appears to Mary and tells her the Son of God she would bear. Imagine the joy of hearing from God after 400 years of silence. It says she rejoiced in her heart. In Luke 1:46 and 47, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God the Savior." She couldn't understand how this could possibly be. It seemed impossible to her in the natural. But the angel of the Lord brought joyful news of Jesus' birth to the shepherds in the field, and we've already read about that. And it told them that they were bringing them good tidings of great joy. You know, Paul tells us that we should rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, Paul said. Why can we rejoice? Even in the midst of what seems like a stressful time, a sorrowful time, a sad time for some people, we can rejoice because Christ came. And we can rejoice for what he did at Calvary. Then making it possible for us to change and become born again Christians. We celebrate the communion this morning. And that communion table says, I came, I lived, I died, I'm coming again. If nothing else, we can rejoice in that fact. We rejoice because he said he came to be with us. He came that our joy might be full. John 16:24 says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. We can be joyful because we have the right to use the name of Jesus to ask for whatever we need. And that name carries power inside of the realm of heaven. When you speak that name, Jesus, when you pray in the name of Jesus, asking the Father for it, that's what he tells us to do. It's the same as Jesus asking the Father. See, we can rejoice in the fact that we can live a good life. He said, I want you to have life, and I want you to have it more abundantly, or we could say joyfully. We can rejoice in the fact that he's coming back. The same Jesus that was born in the stable is coming back, but this time he's not coming back as a baby in a stable. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Although we may not have an earthly reason to rejoice, we can rejoice in Christ because he came for our salvation. Habakkuk 3:17 says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, and even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. I mean, that's a pretty bad situation that I just read about. There's no crops. There's no food. There's no olive oil. The barn is empty. The flocks are dying in the field. There's no cattle in the barn. And yet he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I encourage you today, if you are letting the stress of the season and the different things come in, change your focus from the world around you to what the Word of God says, and you'll find there's joy. Great joy comes, and this was my latter part, when we give to others. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the joy that Jesus had when he went to the cross is really unusual. It says that he had a joy when he went to the cross. Why? He was knowing that through what he was giving, he was bringing salvation. His joy was in what he was giving. He gave himself so that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. There is great joy whenever a person receives Christ. We all know that. So when we begin to feel stressful in this time of the year, in this season, when we begin to want to focus on what we've lost, we need to refocus on what that stable and that cradle in Bethlehem represents. It represents salvation. It represents life. I have another message I preach sometimes called From the Cradle to the Cross. That's what this is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. And we can rejoice because of who Jesus is and that he came. And this is, somebody said, well, this is probably not the time of the year. Well, I don't care whether it is or not. This is when I celebrate my Savior's birth. This is when I celebrate him coming to the earth so that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus maybe was able to endure the shame of the cross because he focused on what he was giving us. So from what Jesus did, we can see one of the best ways to experience great joy is to do something for somebody else. In fact, the Bible talks about that very much so. Paul said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. My dad always said, son, don't pray, God bless me. Pray, God make me a blessing. There's joy that can be found in giving to somebody that cannot come from any other source. You know, I'm excited about buying those toys. I'm excited about bringing those toys because I know because I am willing to go to the store and to buy these toys that I am giving somebody a joyful Christmas morning. Come on now. Think with me on that for a moment. You know, I helped unload those toys this morning. I had some other people helping me because I so much had a trunk full of them. And I was thinking as I was putting them in that box, you know, I don't know how many kids are going to have a joyful Christmas because I'm willing to part with some of my money so that somebody else can be blessed. Somebody once said, well, we don't know whether they're Christian or not. What difference does that make? Because they know it came from a church, maybe they might go to church and find salvation. Hello. You know, I was at Cracker Barrel the other night, and I saw my primary physician there. I'd even greeted him. And they were sitting over, we were here and they were sitting over, and I told them, I said, let's just buy their meal. I know he didn't need me to buy his meal, but you know what? I wanted to do something and give something to him. I mean, he has He has helped me in numerous times with things. I have a relationship with him where I have his personal cell number, and I've called him several times. It wasn't office hours, wasn't the day. It was after night sometimes for information, and he's been always willing to help. Sometimes it's for information to help somebody else. See, sometimes you can help somebody else by knowing somebody that you know that you can call, that they can help you, then you in turn can help them. Sometimes it becomes a chain reaction. Choo, 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 choo. Hello? Anybody getting anything out of what I'm saying? I'm trying to talk to you because I know this is a stressful time of year for some people. I'm trying to talk to you about how you can have joy in the midst of the season. You can turn your struggles of sadness and loneliness into joy by finding somebody else, having them come over to your place, so neither one of you will be alone at Christmas time. Reaching out and helping others will help you to find joy. You'll have greater joy when you get your eyes off of what I am experiencing and begin to think about what others are experiencing. There is always somebody that's experiencing something worse than you are. I started to say better than you're in, but that's not good English. But I started to use that because that gets the point across a lot better, because that gets people's attention. You know, it always will help us to have joy if we're not so preoccupied with me, myself, and I. Come on now. If we're not careful, we can get to the point that it's everything for us. It should be everything for everybody else. Peter, at that man at the gate called beautiful, he said, "I don't have no money, but such as I have, give I you." Well, you know what? You might not have any finances to help somebody, but you know what? You can give of your time to help somebody else get their work done. You can give support to those who can't make it alone. You can give of your resources, if you have it, to those who don't have anything. You can give to those who can never repay you, and trust God for blessings in return. Some people are so totally focused on themselves that they never reach out to give anything to anybody else. You can experience joy by being used of the Lord. As you go through the season, listen to your spirit. He might tell you to do something for somebody. Or you might just like I have the opportunity to do something for somebody. I remember when we did that deal, what did we call that thing when, huh? Yeah, how many of you remember when we did the VIP program? How many of you, when you paid, especially in the drive-thru line, when you paid for somebody's behind you, when you paid for their meal, how many of that gave you a great sense of joy? And you know, we got many, many testimonies, but one of them I remember very distinctly. A lady, she was going for her kids, she was spending her last, I believe I remember correctly, spending her last bit of money to buy food for them, and she didn't know what she was going to do after that. And when she pulled up, her meal had already been paid for, and that helped her to get over the hump. You know, sometimes if we can do something for somebody, we may not ever know the extent of what we've done. I remember one time I was at a minister's conference, and there was a young man there that had graduated from Raymond. I knew who he was. And the Lord told me to give him $100. Well, that's all the money I had. I didn't have nothing else. I didn't have no more money. And like you would, I sort of argued a little bit. You know, you're laughing maybe because you'd have done the same thing. But I did. I pulled that money out of my billfold, and I had the opportunity to slip it in his pocket, coat pocket, without him realizing it. I found out from another friend later that $100 kept him from getting evicted from his house, because that's what he needed to finish the rent payment. He had been making a little bit at a time. He had made a deal with him, but they had told him, if you don't come up with this, you're out of here. To this day, he's gone on to be with the Lord. Now, he never knew that I did that. But man, when I heard that from that testimony, I had such joy. You may never hear that. I've done stuff that I've never heard from people. But I tell you what, it's a joy when I can give. I just say, thank you, Lord, that I have it to give. Thank you. We all have something that we can give. And our joy at Christmas will be increased. So don't, if you're by yourself, don't plan to be by yourself. Find somebody else and let y'all spend it together. Instead of being alone, it'll increase your loneliness and your sadness. But if you have somebody to talk with and to fellowship with, that will go away. Reach out to somebody. Help somebody. Invite somebody to come with you to the Christmas Eve service. That may be all they need to get them out of sadness and loneliness into being joyful. When you begin to do something for somebody else, your Christmas will take on a new meaning. It will take on joy. I've said this. I haven't taken very long this morning, actually, at all. But as I was sitting in the office thinking and going over notes and trying to find something for this morning, I came across this outline. And I just wanted to share it with you this morning so that you could have joy at Christmas. How does it start? By you making a decision that you're going to do something so that your joy will be complete. My whole purpose of this was to get you thinking so that you will have a more joyful Christmas than you've ever had. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words that you've given us to say today. I thank you, Father, that each individual in this place will take the words that was spoken today that they need. And may they take those words to heart and do what is necessary so that they will have a joyful Christmas. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.